The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
This is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Good morning. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor Pat Devaney. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Joyous one.
Joy. Feel the joy.
All right. We have with us for the second week in a row, talking about fire safety, Greg Wolf, captain of the Dunmore Fire Department.
Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for coming back. We're happy to have you. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we discuss everything real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been advising, assisting, and guiding clients in real estate matters for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click on the Dunmore Corners live webcam tab and see how the construction is going at the corners. It's actually kind of interesting.
Look us up on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, which is mobile friendly. Okay, Greg.
Yes.
Greg Wolf, captain of the Dunmore Fire Department. Last week, we spent most of the show on smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, and the importance of having those items in our homes, and the safety and the lives of our family members depend on it often. This week, I would like to talk about different types of fires in the home, and start with the question, what is the leading cause of house fires, please?
The leading cause, by far, is cooking fires.
Cooking,
yep. Whether it's unattended food, that's the reason for most cooking fires in the homes.
People start...
They start cooking and leave?
Correct.
Nothing like putting on a little fried chicken on the stove and then going out to the store for coffee.
Well, we're busy, Pat. You know,
yeah, I know, I got a multitask.
Things are going on, you know, so you
or fall asleep on a couch?
Fall asleep on the couch, you know, things like that. Yeah, that's the most common cause of fires in the United States, and definitely for me, we were talking on break there. That's the reason for most of the fires that we respond to in Dunmore as well.
Really? Well, see, I would think it's drier fires. Because we talked about those last week, and people turn the dryer on and leave, and lint, the collection and buildup of lint causes a lot of, but you're saying cooking fires are the most.
Number one
in the United States. Yeah, the dryer fires, like we did talk about, they are common, but not nearly as common as the cooking fires.
Okay.
Well, we don't have to worry about that in my house. Jackie will never,
I'm not
ever,
talking about that,
Jackie
Pat.
Will never, ever cause a cooking fire.
Well, maybe if I decide to cook someday... We'll have a, I hope to God,
can you
not.
Start a fire by ordering some food on the phone?
I'm not commenting it, Pat.
I have set off a smoke detector once or twice in my life.
We all have.
Yes, and Patrick got to the point where he said, oh, Mom's cooking again. And, you know, funny, because every Sunday he wants a pancake, my son. He still likes that I do make pancakes on Sunday mornings. And you know how he likes his pancakes? I'm the right person for the right job. He likes them burnt. Right. He likes them as black as his phone.
Well.
And I don't understand why, but that's the way. So, hey, I can oblige.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Cook to order.
See, you're good at it.
And he loves them. All right. So... there's different types of cooking fires. There's grease fires. There's oven fires. There's stovetop fires. There's grill fires. There's all these types of fires. And there's different ways to extinguish these types of fires as well, right?
Correct. Grease fires is pretty common. And the big thing we want you to do with that is just the basic things. Turn off the heat is a big part of it. And the things that you were taught when you were younger, you know, just cover it. You know, we're taking
put
the lid on it. We're taking the oxygen away from the fire. It's extinguishing the fire. That's our best way to do it. Our easiest way to do it. If it's burning to the point where you can't get anywhere near it, then obviously we don't want you to do that. If you can turn the heat off, get out of the room and do what, Pat?
Close the door.
Close the door. We want you to close the door. It's critical to containing that fire to that kitchen area. So again, if it's burning out of control, we don't want you messing with it. Turn the heat off if possible. Get out, close the door. If you have a fire extinguisher available, you can use them as well. Just don't get right on top of it because there is some pressure behind those fire extinguishers and you'll just spray that grease all over the place. So keep your distance, maybe 5 or 6 feet, start spraying that fire extinguisher, and then that'll extinguish the fire.
Never, ever put water on a grease fire.
Never. That will aid in the combustion process.
It'll just make it spread. Make it worse.
It'll just,
you want to burn down your house, put some water on a grease fire.
It's not really aiding in the combustion, but yes, it will spread it out.
Well, it just
out.
Spreads it.
It spreads it out, so that will aid in it. Correct. So yeah, we want to stay away from the water. Like I said, the best way, cover that, turn the heat off, close the door.
You put the water in there, it just boils instantly, creates the steam, and just spreads it all over.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you got a lot of, burnt popcorn, burnt things in the microwave, that type of stuff. We run into that a lot.
So do we.
Burnt popcorn, that aroma lingers for days.
It never goes away. It stays in our gear. A lot of times, just from a simple thing like that, I'll wash my gear just because, like you said, you get that burnt popcorn and it's in. You're like, geez, you can't get rid of it. But yeah, that is. So again, that's just unattended. People aren't paying attention. Even if you hit that popcorn button, sometimes, it's going to keep going. So listen,
follow the instructions.
Follow the instructions. When you stop hearing kernels popping,
turn it off. What a novel idea.
Crazy it is. But with those things in your oven, your microwave, keep the door closed. Again, we're limiting the amount of oxygen to it. Turn it off if you can with the oven or the microwave, but keep it closed if you can. And usually it'll just die right out. If it's anything that's not going to die out, you still see it burning, then obviously you got to call 911 and get your local fire department on the way.
And close the door.
Absolutely.
Always close the door.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, I'm thinking about burnt popcorn, and then we had a babysitter one time make macaroni and cheese for Patrick when he was really little. And one of the things she did was melt the handle, the plastic handle on the pan. And we came home and it was, whoa. It took 4 days for us to air out the house. And there's nothing like that smell as well.
It's sticky. And luckily with these, it was a minor incident. It was caught. And luckily with a lot of these, they are minor. But they obviously, one of the last structure fires that we had was a kitchen fire. So yeah, they can spread. But luckily, they most of the time are just, they stay small.
First thing you do is call 911.
Call 911 and people get it. They don't want to do that.
How many times do you see where people take matters into their own hands and it's absolutely
a disaster?
Many times. One that I can think of, it happened quite a few years ago, but it was an elderly lady and she just thought, well, you don't call 911. This is what I do. I take care of what I take care of. And she suffered some pretty good burns to herself. And, and the fire, meanwhile, she didn't get the fire out. She just burned herself. By the time someone, I think she did eventually call us, but the fire had spread and she had got some burns. So, you want to call 911. It's not a big deal. Some people do get embarrassed. They don't want to, deal with that. The neighbor's talking about them, that whole thing. But we'll come, we'll check it out. We'll make sure that everything's good and we'll be on our way.
You're not going to come in and stop breaking windows?
No.
Because people think that. All the fire departments come, they're going to break all my windows.
Yeah, no, we're not going to start breaking windows. In many of the departments, it's about customer service as well, too. So we're not going to want to do that. We're not going to break things that we don't.
You're not there to destroy someone.
We're not there to destroy anything, no.
Oh, just help them contain their fire. All right, fire extinguishers. You touched on the importance. So where should we have, obviously in the kitchen, anywhere else in the home?
The kitchen's a great idea, as well as the garage area. They're good, two good spots for the home, unless you're doing something specialty like welding or something like that in your home. You want to do your kitchen area and your garage. That's going to be the most common area where fires might occur. So you want them by the exits as well, too. Even as firefighters, we're always taught, don't let the fire get behind you. So when you have a fire extinguisher, make sure they're by an exit so the extinguisher is not between you and the fire. So you can get out if things get too bad. You can just make your way out. If the extinguisher wasn't adequate to put the fire out, then you can get yourself out.
You have a fire extinguisher, you mount it to the wall, and a place where you can get to, obviously, right? So you have it there. How often should you change that fire extinguisher? Are they good forever?
No, the fire extinguishers, if you just bought them at your local hardware store, and they're the disposable ones, they're good for 12 years.
Really?
Yeah, they're good for 12. As long as the gauge is still in the green, you know, check it every now and then. Make sure that the gauge is in the green. As long as it's in the green, they're good for 12 years, like I said, and then you gotta throw them away.
Okay. Now, you know, one of the things that's becoming more and more common, and I'm noticing it more, are people that like to have a lot of belongings in their home around them.
Very nice way of saying it.
Okay.
A lot of belongings.
Lots of belongings.
We used to call them in New York Collier's Mansions.
Collier's.
That's what we called them. Because I guess it originated from somebody, their name was Collier, and they were a hoarder.
Yeah.
And we would go through, yes. So that's how we would refer to a fire back then.
Yeah. We just recently had an incident. We actually got called. There was a medical emergency at the house. The police department called us, said there was some sparking with the light or whatever it was. And we walked in there and all you think is good luck to these people, because we're not going to be able to help them in these incidents, in these homes with a lot of clutter in the rooms, and just the pathway, the hoarding that we're talking about here. You know, it's increased chance for fires because stuff is obviously going to be closer to heaters. It's going to be closer to your cooking stuff because there's so much stuff piled up in there. So there's an increased chance of fire, and in the case that there is a fire, we're not going to be able to do much with any efficiency, because just as, you know, you're having, you know, the residents are having trouble getting through the house, what do you think we're going to do when the smoke is banked down? So from a life safety aspect of it, we're going to have a tough time finding you and getting to you, and then the extinguishing of the fire, it's going to be increased fire load. There's lots more there for it to burn. So there's big problems with hoarding.
Dangerous for everybody. Dangerous for the occupants, dangerous for the firemen coming in.
Correct.
Trying to crawl through these, navigate their way through this stuff.
Correct. So, I mean, you know, and it's something that we have to, there's a reason people have gotten to that point. So we do, you know, we want to be sensitive to what's going on there, but we also have to stress the fact that this is a definite hazard, which is, like I said, the incident we recently responded to, that's exactly what I said to the residents. I said, look at, you know, and they just had a medical emergency as well, and it was a fairly serious one. And I know you got a lot going on. There's things happening here, but you got to take care of this because someone else is going to get hurt. You know, you just don't go at them because they're just going to become defensive.
Well, sure.
Yeah, just like the rest of us would. So, you know, you go at it a certain way, and most of the time you can reach them. And if not, if you do come across that, you know, you can call your municipalities, and they have code enforcement or whatever can help with that.
Well, so it was some time ago, but it was an apartment in Dunmore, and I had the house for sale, and I was going through one of the apartments that was occupied by a young family, and there was a means of ingress and egress, which you're supposed to have. So there was, but the way that the layout was that you came in one door on one side of the unit, and then you were supposed to go out another from the kitchen. That was the second form of entry exit, and it was totally blocked.
Yeah,
from floor to ceiling, totally blocked, and I just really felt compelled to say something, especially when I saw little kids running around and in the kitchen. You couldn't get out, and if that's the most common source of fire, they would have never made it back out to the other door.
Yeah, it is. It's a big problem, and if you see things like that, it is. You know, I'm glad you did say something, because it is, something happens, especially with the kids, and there's.
I would have never been able to live with myself if anything ever happened. But knowing it and seeing it, and I was respectful and mindful of the fact that, you know, it was somebody's home, but I need to keep those doors, points of entrance and exit open.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. With us today is Greg Wolf, captain of the Dunmore Fire Department. Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a 4-bedroom home at 2520 Oliphant Avenue in Scranton for $119,000. This home has been taken care of over the years, and it has a remodeled bath, a newer roof, two ductless air conditioning units, a garage, and a large dry basement. There is also hardwood floors under the carpeting, all of this on a large 164-foot-deep lot. That's a four-bedroom home with a garage at 2520 Oliphant Avenue in Scranton for $119,000, and that's listed by Eddie Ruddy and Aaron Pierce of our office.
Stay with the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. We'll be back after a very brief break.
Mom, can I please go down the street to say goodbye to Bobby before he moves?
Son, I can't even get up these steps. I need to sell this house.
Hon, I know things are tight, but I think we need a bigger house.
Does this sound familiar? Life constantly changes, and so can your living situation. The home that was the perfect fit for you years ago just doesn't work anymore. The award-winning professionals at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate have helped many people just like you throughout northeastern Pennsylvania for almost a half century. With their extensive knowledge of the market and how to sell and buy a home, the dedicated team of realtors at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate have successfully assisted and guided people into a new chapter in their lives. Let us help you. Visit jruddy.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor.
Good morning again.
Good morning again. We are with Greg Wolf, captain of the fire department in Dunmore, Pennsylvania. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Thanks for being here with us 2 weeks in a row. In the first half of the show, we talked about the leading cause of house fires, our kitchen fires, and the importance of fire extinguishers, not only in a kitchen, but in a garage space as well. Those are areas where you might find yourself needing a fire extinguisher, and usually the ones that you can buy at a hardware store last 10 to 12 years. So you're in good shape for at least a decade. Okay. We also talked about people that we refer to people these days as hoarders, people that like a lot of personal belongings in every inch of their space, and how much of a hazard that is, and fire safety hazard, and not only to the residents, but also to the fire personnel coming in.
The first responders.
The first responders coming in. Okay, it's a good time to focus on, and October is Fire Safety Month, by the way, right?
Fire Prevention Month.
Okay, family fire drill. Take us through that, what we could do, and you know, necessary things to think about before a fire breaks out.
Well, and that's the key word there, before a fire breaks out. And, you know, you have to have those two ways out. We're kind of discussing that with the hoarders. That's important. It's important to practice that as well, too. So the family fire drills, those type of things, real important. That meeting place, how to get out. Go over it with your family. I discuss it with my kids. They know how to get out. Dad, I know. Then they yell at me. But I go over it with them. I say, hey, look, if there's a fire here, this is the way you go. If there's a fire this way, this is the way you go. And then actually practice it. And don't practice it always in the same spot. Make the fire move around. So have a fire in the kitchen one day. And so people practice that way. Have a fire in a bedroom another time. So people practice exiting another way. And I tell people that in the commercial area as well. You know, if you're working, if you're at a daycare or whatever it is, practice the fire being other places and having that meeting place and accountability, trying to know who's in the home. So when we arrive, you know, we can say, is everybody out? And you can have a good idea. Well, yeah, you know, everyone's here at the meeting place, or no, you know, we're missing two. But that's real important. I stress that with college students as well when I do stuff at the local colleges, is make sure these are new places you're at. And if you're on campus, you have fire alarms and that type of stuff, but practice those different ways of going out. The real estate market, you get a new home, that's time to refresh. Hey, look at this is where we used to go. This is when we do it now. Where we meet, this is how you get out. Those type of things, those two ways out. Practicing those fire drills at the homes is essential in surviving.
Young kids, they have a tendency to get scared and do what?
They want to hide, and that's something we stress when we go to the schools. You know, don't hide. And this goes not just for kids. This goes for everybody. Don't hide. If you're in a room and the fire is outside your room, we do the same things that we were taught as a kid. We check with the back of our hand. If there's heat on that door, we keep the door closed. We could put a blanket or something underneath the door to keep the smoke out. And then we just stay put, you know, and we don't hide. We don't go in closets. We don't go under mattresses. We don't do those things because it's going to be more difficult for us to find you, when we're coming, you know, when we're searching the building for you. We teach people to stay by the wall. Why do we do that, Pat?
So we can get out. So you're in the middle of the room. You get turned around. You don't know which way is what.
Absolutely. And so we don't have to do that. And we don't have to get turned around and get lost. But when we're doing our search, we're going to be going along the wall. Cause like you said, it's harder for us to get lost and disorientated. So if you're sitting in a room and it's smoke, if you're sitting by the wall, staying low, we're going to basically run into you. So that's something that we teach kids and teach people, you know, to do that. You're stuck in a room. There's no way out of there. We don't want you jumping out windows, second floor windows. If you're on the first floor, obviously take that way out. But second floor and above, don't jump out windows, unless absolutely necessary.
Get down on the ground. Have your nose on the floor. You want to have a ring on the nose.
But first, what do you have to do, Pat? You have to close that door.
Got to close that door. That door will save your life.
Make sure that door is closed. And like I said, you know, put that blanket underneath there and hang tight.
On the floor. There's always two or three inches of good air down on the floor, no matter how bad it is in a room.
That's the best advice.
So, you know, you have this house, you live in it, you know it like the back of your hand, yet in a fire.
Just close your eyes.
You become so easily disoriented because it gets dark and it's smoky real fast and you can't see.
You can't see.
Okay, so get on the ground, stay close to a wall, and usually you can figure out where you are.
And close that door.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get out, yeah, close the door. If you can get out of that room, then the old saying, stay low and go. Kind of what you're saying there is stay low, get yourself out, because that's, like you're saying, that's your best visibility. The smoke that's where all the bad stuff is. The good stuff's down low. So stay low and go. You get out and you stay out. All those catchy phrases there. Stay low and go, get out, stay out, get in your meeting place and you stay there. We don't go back in for pets or anything like that.
Cell phone.
Cell phone, definitely. You know, and I know that's a tough call with amongst family, and I don't know what I would do in that situation, but we don't want you going in for anybody or anything because you know, the way things are, you know, the black smoke we talked last week, how your furnishings in your home are mostly made out of plastic and oil-based materials. So that's not only making things move a little faster, but it's making thick black smoke. So making visibility even worse than it used to be. Mm-hmm. So stay low, go, get out, and stay out.
Okay.
What's two things I should never store in my basement?
Two... gasoline?
No, really? Gasoline?
You just want two? Or?
No, I just want, yeah, give me two, give me a couple.
Propane cylinders?
Big propane cylinders for the barbecue?
Big or little. We
I want to keep them out of the weather.
No, they're okay.
They're okay?
They don't get cold? No, you don't have to put a blanket on them or anything. They'll
gasoline.
Be okay.
So with my gasoline for my lawnmower, I shouldn't keep it in a 2-gallon container right next to the hot water heater?
No. I personally wouldn't. No,
people do it all the time.
People do it all the time, and that's part of, you know, the clutter and keeping things away from our heating sources or anything like that, any of our flames, anything like that. You want to keep things at least 3 feet away.
Okay, gasoline never in the house. Propane cylinders never in the house. What else shouldn't you bring in? Stray cats? No.
True. You know, anything that's flammable, anything like that you could think of, there's plenty of things that
anything that
you think is going to enhance combustion, anything like that, we want to keep out of the homes. There's a reason they're it's recommended that way, because anything happens, it's going to be a problem. You keep a propane cylinder in your home someplace, even if it's not the cause of the fire. A fire gets to it, it's going to cause a bigger problem.
What if it gets kicked by the kids or something and the nozzle opens just a little bit?
Yeah, there's a whole slew of problems that we can have with that. So anything combustible, anything flammable, we don't want to keep in the homes like that.
Kerosene heaters, a lot of people use them, but they're not actually legal in
New York City. You can't have them. You can't use them. Nope.
Yeah, they're not as common as they used to be. You know, they're designed to be safe, and they are if you use them properly. And the kerosene, there's different things you can make it cleaner so it doesn't have that smell to it. But it is an open flame. So we obviously want to keep everything away from any type of heaters, but especially the kerosene heaters on top. The tops get real hot. We want to keep anything away from those. You know, like I said, at least a 3-foot radius around there.
A lot of people have space heaters and either, you know, fueled by natural gas or propane. And, you know, it's a secondary sometimes method of heating a basement mm-hmm. or a home, some rooms. But, you know, there's safety issues with those as well, especially for young children.
Yeah, I mean, they're UL listed. They should be, as long as you're buying them from a reputable, you know, place. But yeah, not well maintained. You can have carbon monoxide problems. You could have a lot of other different problems. The guards aren't in place. The safeties aren't in place. They have, you know, oxygen shut off. So if it's, you know, it'll shut off if it's tipped or anything like that. But if it's not well maintained and it's 50 years old, well, maybe it might not have all those safeties and things like that. So, you know, you have to keep an eye on those things, obviously.
Okay. A lot of fires are caused by electrical issues. So what could we keep in mind regarding our electrical items?
The biggest problem with electrical is people overloading the circuit. So too many things on a plug or a circuit. That's a big problem that we see, as well as what we call piggybacking extension cords and the power strips. So you'll have the power strip plugged in to the wall like it's supposed to be, and then you'll have another power strip plugged into that. So
and
you
then
have
an extension cord.
And then an extension cord on top of that. So that's a big problem with that. That's not what they're designed for. So if you have a power strip, they're fine. And they do go bad as well, too. So if you have one for 20 years, you need to replace them. Parts wear out, that type of stuff. So the power strips, you know, we don't piggyback onto them. Anything big, like an air conditioner, refrigerator, those things shouldn't be on extension cords. With the extension cords as well, not under carpet.
Never.
We want it.
How many times have you seen an extension cord under a carpet?
Many times.
And frayed.
Well, and that's exactly what happens is from people walking on it, the carpet walking on it, is it wears down the insulators on it. So eventually the insulators wear down and the wires make the connection and we have a fire. So those are things that we don't want to do. Extension cords is permanent wiring. So if you have something, your computer or whatever, and it's always on that, extension cords are really only designed to be temporary fixes. So the extension cords through the roof or through the ceiling and drop down, plugged into the wherever it might be, are not a good idea either. Because like I said, they're not designed for that. So extension cords uses permanent wiring is definitely a no-no as well. But the piggyback, that's a big problem. We see that in many cases, especially with the older homes where they only have one or two. You guys see it all the time.
One or two outlets
in a room. So, you know, that was good 50 years ago when we had a lamp in the room. Well, now we have computers, chargers, all those other things that we're trying to use the electrical for. So people will do that. And that's a big problem. Uncoiling the wires as well. I've seen that many times, especially with like a power strip or anything like that, where you're getting a lot of different draw off of it, they'll melt. So have them pulled out, extended all the way. Don't keep them coiled up because that'll generate the heat and that'll cause a problem as well. We run into that quite often.
Well, good stuff to keep in mind as we're, you know, in another month or so, we're headed into the holiday season and people use extension cords to decorate. So they, you know, all their lights and mm-hmm. strings of lights and they can overload quickly.
Yes, very easily. So we definitely want to keep an eye on that. If you want to do the Clark Griswold from vacation there, be careful with that. That is definitely a problem. You know, they're only designed to do so much. Make sure you stay within the limits of the manufacturer.
Thank you, Greg Wolf, captain of the Dunmore Fire Department. We appreciate 2 weeks in a row with you and fire safety discussion. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Pat?
Yes. I'm moving here. Listen to this. We have 91 acres of land for sale in Covington Township on Frytown Road for $185,000. This land is located in the North Pocono School District. There's 1,400 feet of road frontage. That's like a quarter mile. And this lot it's a wooded lot, and there is unlimited potential. That's just about $2,000 an acre, and that's pretty cheap. You could build your dream home and never have to see or hear your neighbors again. How's that sound?
Delightful.
Sounds good. That's 91 acres of wooded land on Frytown Road in Covington Township for only $185,000. And that's listed by Amanda Rudis of our office.
Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.